Catholic Answers Live. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Cy will be back in this seat tomorrow, so only one more day of putting up with me. But we have a great two-hour program here with us in studio, our very own staff apologist, Trent Horn, and our very special guest all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, Layla Miller. Welcome, Layla.
Thank you. It's
welcome,
great to be
welcome,
here.
Welcome, Trent. We're glad you're here.
Always good to be here.
And we have them here in the studio because they are co-authors of I'm holding it up for everybody in radio to see. Yeah. But our Facebook friends and YouTube, co-authors of one of our newest books, Made This Way. Mm-hmm. And so today, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We want to hear from parents who are having difficulty answering difficult moral questions from their children. Or perhaps you are a teacher and you have, whether it's a grade school child or a middle school child, the world is, well, it's a difficult place now here, my friends. And so we get questions, parents get questions from their children, like the nine-year-old saying, "Mommy, what's a transgender?" That when I was nine, we were not asking our parents.
Might have been asking, "Where do babies come from?" But now the variant is, "Where do babies come from if it's a daddy and a daddy?"
Right, exactly. So mm-hmm. so we're taking questions today, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. For Layla and for Trent, so that they can help you through these questions. Layla, first.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Were your parents Eric Clapton fans?
Nah, that's always the question. And by the way, I like the unplugged version better.
It's spelled differently.
It is spelled differently. It would have helped my life if it had been spelled L-A-Y-L-A, because people would know how to pronounce my name. But no, they weren't. Actually, my father is an Arab immigrant, and Layla, L-E-I-L-A, is an Arabic name.
Oh.
So it just so happened that everybody, you know, also knows the Eric Clapton song.
Well, I'm sorry to be the 300th person to ask you that question. Yeah. So, great song. Mother of eight.
Yes.
Right? And ranging from 27
down to 8.
To 8 years old.
And we have 7 grandchildren now as well. Our first 3 are married with children, and 5 of the 8 of our children are now adults.
Praise God. And you blog, or you did blog, at Little Catholic Bubble.
Right.
But now we can find your more current stuff at LaylaMiller.net.
Yes.
All right,
kind of
good.
Shifted over there, and yeah.
And tell a little bit more about yourself. You have had a career doing some – this is not your first book, so you've been doing some speaking and writing for some time
right.
now.
Yes.
Sort of as a Catholic mom guru.
Yes.
How's that?
Sort of. Yes. So basically, yeah, stay-at-home mom for all these years. A couple of years ago, because I had been blogging and talked to a lot of Catholic moms and such and teaching the faith in that way, some of the moms started to ask me about, you know, how do you raise especially boys in this culture? And that's when I did my first self-published book, which now is with Holy Heroes, and that's Raising Chaste Catholic Men. And that was just self-published up until recently, the second edition, and is, again, Holy Heroes. But then I did another self-published book, which was kind of out of the blue, which was Primal Loss, The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak. And that kind of blew things up, which was pretty amazing. That's about the time when we started talking about maybe taking something to Catholic Answers and getting this all put together for parents, because again, parents need things today. They're pretty anxious out there.
So I guess, Trent, that answers the question. What, you know, how did the inspiration for this book come around?
Well, so for at least a few years, I've been wanting to write a book like this because I engage these tough moral issues all the time on Catholic Answers Live, and people will email me saying, "How do I explain this to my kids?" And then I remember going to a mom's group with my wife. You know, she was going to that, and some of the parents were talking to me saying, "How do I explain this?" So I saw there was the need, and I first thought, how would I write this book? But then I saw the obstacle in front of me that, well, I know these moral issues very well, but I don't have a lot of the practical parenting experience. I only have, you know, 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. So right now, the only thing I'm dealing with is I have a 3-year-old biological male who identifies as a dinosaur. So I'm helping him to come to grips with that, with his sense of identity.
That's
and
in
sense
the book.
Of self.
Yeah,
so,
we deal with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Transosaurus Rex or whatnot. So, so, but I don't, you know, haven't had elementary students, high school students. And so I was familiar with Layla's work and both her work as a solid Catholic parent and her work engaging these issues online with critics of what the church teaches. So I felt like there was a good congruence and alliance that could be formed here. And then the book really naturally flowed from that.
Naturally flowed. Is this the first time you've co-written a book, Layla?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So how does, same for me.
Yeah, how did that creative process work?
It went really well.
Did it start when you were, because Trent, you were in Phoenix until just about a year ago.
Yeah, so we were in the same city. You know, mm-hmm. we met and got lunch and talked about the idea of the book. And then once it was greenlit, we had a table of contents. You know, we had the outline. And kind of what would happen, now, sometimes with co-authored books, you just get one person writes one half, the other writes the other half, or you alternate chapters. But these are all really a synthesis of our thoughts. So what would usually happen is one of us would come up with the bulk of it, you know, the slab of granite, and it would go back and forth from each of us to kind of shave away at it and edit. And so we would exchange it back and forth multiple times until we had something we both really liked. And so I think it formed a good synthesis of our voices. The book is written primarily in Layla's voice from her experience as a parent. But as I said, I do pop up in there often in the footnotes.
Yes.
Were there points of contention, or that's not the way we want to argue that, or it was all pretty smooth?
I mean, there might have been a couple times where we had to discuss the best approach to a particular section, but I don't remember anything.
No, I don't think so. I think sometimes I hedge on being more. Sometimes I can get too academic and worry about overqualifying things. And I think that we had a discussion that that might not be helpful in a text for, you know, for parents. We want to make this as easily accessible for readers as we can. And so good compromise there is, you know, if I think this technicality should be in the main text, it can go to the footnotes where I like to live. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and but other than that, we were really
on target. He's a bit of a geek.
I love Layla. That part. Yeah. I love that because I was I don't do the, you know, scholarly part. I really don't remember my footnote protocol. So it was really excellent that he was able to take all that.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. This is Catholic Answers Live. We are here in studio with co-authors of our new book, Made This Way, Layla Miller and Trent Horn. Now, anyone who calls the show today gets a free copy of the book. So call in with your question, 888-318-7884. But if you don't get in and you want a copy of the book, there are three options, my friends. You can get an individual copy. Go to shop.catholic.com and use the promo code CALIVE18 and you can save 20%. If you buy five copies or more, and this is the kind of book that you can give to, you know, other moms, right? Other parents, friends in your parish, to your parish priest, right? Teachers mm-hmm. at the parochial school. So you buy five copies or more, your cost goes down to $10 a copy, 40% savings. This is the real bargain. And I know we've already done a bunch of these already, right, Trent? If you buy a case of the book, which is 20 in the case.
20 for $100.
Yeah. And so down to $5 a copy. Yeah. And I know we're going to be hearing later on the show from a lovely lady who has bought, I don't know, a dozen of these cases.
I'm extremely excited. There are parishes that have purchased 800 of them through this special online deal just to give to all of their parishioners. And a great place to get all that is at the website madethiswaybook.com.
Right. And all these different purchase options are there.
They're
as well.
All there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. madethisway.com or madethiswaybook.com?
Madethiswaybook.com.
Madethiswaybook.com or go to shop.catholic.com. We will be right back with your calls.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a
why
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Catholic Answers Live. My name is Chris Check. I am president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for your usual host, Cy Kellett, who will be back tomorrow. With me in studio today, Trent Horn and our very special guest, all the way from Phoenix, Layla Miller, co-authors of their brand new book, Made This Way. We're taking questions today on how to answer difficult moral questions to your preteens and your teens alike. So if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, and you've been faced with the kind of difficult moral questions really that are unprecedented, they're unique to our age, we're here to help you march through these, walk through these with your little ones. Let's go to Rachel from the Midwest calling on Real Presence Radio. Rachel, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, and I am an educator, and I'm actually taking a continuing education class.
God bless you.
In that class, we've been assigned two readings that promote sexting.
Oh, my.
And that's the sharing of explicit images via technology. And so some of the main ideas the author has presented are that sexting is freedom of expression, and it is a sign that students have a trusting, consensual relationship. It has also been presented that sexting should not be considered child pornography and therefore unprosecutable by law. Several of my classmates have expressed that they've changed their views following these readings, and I'm struggling with how to respond. So any suggestions, I would greatly appreciate.
Wow, Rachel, way to lead off with a heavy question.
Rachel, I need to know a clarification before we provide our answers. Is this continuing education class, is it for a public school continuing education, or is it like a religious school at continuing education?
It is public.
So public school continuing education
scandals.
Class promoting that sexting is a good thing for minors to do under the age of 18.
Yes.
Well, I have a ton of thoughts on that. Layla, would you?
We
can take the next 2 hours.
I have to be honest. I have never heard of any adult actually promoting sexting. I always thought, you know, from what I've heard so far, it's been about, caution and telling kids that they should not be doing this. So this actually takes me by surprise that this is being specifically promoted.
Well, what's interesting, there's a great article that was published in 2010 on this subject in the Journal of Law and Technology. It's called Sexting and Teenagers, OMG, Are You Going to Jail? Is the actual name of the article. So I think what you can point out with your friends who are talking about this, there's two areas you could go if this is in public education. One would be the practical concerns. You could just talk about the pure practical, pragmatic dangers involved in this. And then the second would be talking the principled dangers about how this treats other, how you should treat other people, where you can put forward a religious reason or not, depending on where the person's coming from. But just from a practical element, this is an abundantly stupid book. Someone would say this, that there are teenage. He might say, well, it shouldn't be considered child pornography. It is. I don't believe we should lock up teenagers who do this. I believe they've made a horrid mistake and they need to, you know, be getting help for doing this. But there are teenagers who are facing 5, 10, 15-year jail terms for sending these images around. So the author's talking about very risky behavior, encouraging sexual behavior, and could lead to incarceration.
Rachel, just to clarify, the text that you describe says that this is okay for minors, right, to do this because it's evidence of a consensual relationship?
Yep. That they, you know, if they feel that they have a trusting relationship, that they should be able to send those images and not have...
I mean, Layla, Trent, this is an extraordinary example of the depth of wickedness of some people in positions of influence.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's absolutely revolutionary.
It is like nothing we've ever seen.
All right. Well, what's some counsel we can give Rachel?
Another point that I would add then as a principal area to counter this is to say this is not a demonstration of trust in a relationship, to say that your body is something, even people who are secular will agree that, you know, your body is something that is special. It's something that should not be abused or used. But when you send a nude or semi-nude photograph of yourself to someone else, you have now allowed yourself to be used by anyone. You know, you've raised teenagers, Layla. You can't even trust them to pack their lunches for school. Right. Would you trust your teenage boyfriend or girlfriend with a nude picture of yourself? I certainly would not do that.
Well, almost all cases, these things end badly. The image gets shared
and it'll
widely.
Never go away. Yep. Right. Once it's out there, it doesn't go away ever.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's an exploitation of this child. So, wow. I mean, I want to say that in the past we would perhaps think of legal action against the adults who are claiming that this is okay.
Right.
So we flipped this on its head.
So, Rachel, I would recommend if you stay on the line, I would like to get your email address. One thing, if you're dealing with secular individuals who are promoting this, to just provide them secular resources related to the harms of sexting and the abuses that can follow from that are not even from a religious perspective, the cold, hard facts that they should look to. And then in our book, I would recommend you read the chapters on pornography, where Layla and I talk about how pornography uses people, objectifies them, ultimately leads us to ruin as a human person to share with others. So I think that might be helpful for you.
Yeah. And I was even thinking the chapter on modesty.
Yes.
That came up into my mind as well, because we have forgotten what modesty is and what it means. And it's not, you know, always what we think it means today. But that's important.
Rachel, thank you very much for your call. Trent, before we go to the next call, you made a point to Rachel, which was a question that I had for you and Layla. Do I have to be particularly religious to get benefit from Made This Way? Is this written for, you know, Catholics or Christians, or could someone who doesn't necessarily have religious beliefs but maybe a sense of the natural law, is he or she going to benefit from the book?
Well, that's the genius of the book, and I really owe that to Layla, is providing that as the string that's put everything together. And that's what she can share more from her own parenting experience, that to be a good parent, to share our Catholic moral values, is to show they are eminently reasonable. And that is why we use a natural law framework. And Layla's done that successfully for many years now.
Yeah, that's how I wanted to approach this whole topic, because that's how I've raised my children. And I didn't know it had a name. I didn't understand, you know, that this was a philosophical thing. This natural law term wasn't even familiar to me until I was in my 40s. But I, looking back, that's how I've raised all my kids, which is to say, you know, we use something according to its design or its nature. And to do that means that things will go the way they're supposed to, and it'll be a healthy outcome. And to use something against its nature would, of course, lead to unfavorable results or even disaster, chaos. So that, as St. Paul says, you know, in Scripture, that even the pagans can understand creation,
sure,
or they can see how things ought to be based on just their reason alone. God has planted that in their hearts.
Yeah, so my friends, you don't need to, your friend does not need to be a Catholic or it could be, you know, a public school teacher who professes no particular belief to benefit from this book. And then maybe we do some stealth evangelization.
Absolutely.
Right in there. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Remember, folks, everyone who calls today gets a free copy of Trent and Layla's book. Let's go to Teresa on Long Island, listening on Sirius XM EWTN 130. Teresa, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm a Catholic campus minister at a high school here on Long Island, and I'm living in the apologetics like battleground with some of these teenagers, and it's what I love about my job.
I
listen to you guys all the time. It's where I get a lot of my my conversation pieces and my confidence to kind of go into those conversations, knowing how to articulate myself as a young Catholic woman. But a situation has come up very specifically in my school where a young lady identifies as transgender, and she's the first person in our Catholic school to openly express interest in transitioning into being a man. And so she's gone as far as to change her name to a boy's name and ask teachers to call her by the male pronouns. And so the bishop and the chaplains got involved and said, we can't go that far. We can't call you he or, you know, but we're making certain concessions as a school that I'm not sure how, you know, I know the way that we deal with this will shape her idea of the church and how she's loved by God. And so I want to be as sensitive
yes.
as possible, but also to love her is to tell her the truth of who she is.
And I think this is your bishop's. I think this is your bishop's objective too. Are you Rockville Center? Is that your diocese?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a very good bishop. You do. Yeah.
Yes. He's been very good with, he's dealt with it hands on.
Good. Good.
So, I do feel confident with most of the way it's going, but in my personal interactions with her, I won't call her by those pronouns, on principle. My witness, I think is important that I represent the church to her, but at the same time, she's at a very volatile time in her life, and I don't want to push her away. I don't want to close the door to conversation that might come about. So I just want to treat it very sensitively and very lovingly. So would you give me, you know, for example, we were at rehearsal the other day, and she was with a few other young women, and I said, okay, have a great day. Thanks, ladies. And I saw her, like, get upset about that.
Right. Okay, Layla, Trent?
Sure. Well, one, that's interesting because a lot of times we'll use the collective term guys. Like, I'll see you later, guys, if everyone is in the studio and our call screener Marie might be there. And, you know, normally, sometimes, if you have these interactions, you can say, well, I meant that more in a collective sense. And I'm not trying to specifically call you out in front of a bunch of other people. I think what's important here, and it's funny, Layla and I were talking about this earlier on my podcast, The Council of Trent, and for our listeners who want more on this particular subject about how to talk to teens about the issue of transgender, they can check that out at trenthornpodcast.com. We were talking about the importance of affirming someone in the person that they are rather than the identity that they claim, and to understand that in many cases, for example, these stories of transitioning, which seem to be more common of girls claiming to be boys. And Layla, maybe you might have some thoughts on this. I think a lot of times there are girls who feel hurt by men or feel uncomfortable with their femininity. And so they're struggling with that or maybe issues of anxiety. And they don't feel, you know, like, well, I don't have all the stereotypical interests that girls have. And so maybe, you know, I'm dealing with these anxiety issues. Maybe I'd fit in better as a guy. And I think it's better to, you know, to affirm to her, you are a beautiful child of God, and God gave you special interests and things that you enjoy. And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't have to define you into this rigid identity box. I mean, Layla and I, you talk in the book really well about how at your house, I mean, you know, your husband will be cooking dinner and you'll be roughhousing with the boys. And sometimes I think people who defend transgender identity will do so because they believe in really rigid gender roles, which is something they accuse us of doing.
That's the thing. That's the irony, is that we're supposed to be getting away from gender roles and not, you know, we're the ones who are supposed to be holding to those. And yet that's not the case.
Yeah, these things don't really stand very much scrutiny.
No, they don't. Yeah. They don't. And so we were talking about on your podcast, too, that this seems to be very much a fad that has come up and now is really exponentially growing. You see it where you didn't see it at all even, you know, 5-10 years ago. And now all of a sudden, entire schools are exploding with maybe not the Catholic schools so much, especially in good diocese. But you'll see in a public school all of a sudden a great number of people are starting to transition or saying that, you know, well, let's experiment with this gender fluidity. And because something opens up like that and it's a thing now that is, you know, affirmed and expected even, more and more people who would never have even given thought to that in their lives 10, 20, 30 years ago or 30 years ago when I was in high school, all of a sudden it's an option and it's a thought. Well, maybe this is why I'm not feeling, you know, settled inside. It must be because of this thing that everyone says I'm supposed to be experimenting with. So we don't know why she's doing that right now. I mean, she may have had a trauma in her home. She may have had a, you know, parents divorce. She may be looking for identity. She may be looking for family in a different way. So all that has to be taken into consideration. What is the trauma, you know, that would make her suddenly, again, this seems to be kind of sudden. And, you know, I'm sure there are some people maybe who have felt this way since childhood. But then again, you have to look into, well, why would that be? But bottom line is you're right not to go along with this, what ultimately is a delusion in her mind for whatever reason, and to not use those pronouns that she's demanding.
I would say keep the channels of communication open. Affirm as much as you can, you know, her school accomplishments, athletic accomplishments, personal interests, whatever they may be, to show that you actually do care about her and want her to flourish and to be someone who will not feel judgmental. But when she, if she asks you about the issue of transgender, you can phrase it this way. There's things about when people say they're transgender that don't make sense to me that I have a hard time understanding. And in that way, it doesn't sound like you're trying to refute or condemn her. You're sharing your perspective, much like she's sharing her perspective with you. And if you keep the channel of communication open and show that you're someone who will at least listen fairly, that can be helpful if, after transitioning allegedly to being a male, many cases these people find out it's not all it's cracked up to be. They detransition back, and you can be there to help walk her through that whole journey.
Teresa, we have to go to a break. My friends, buy a case of 20 made this way for only $5 each at shop.catholic.com. More with Trent and Layla after the break.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Eight eight eight. 318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett. The show is Catholic Answers Live. My guests are Layla Miller and Trent Horn. We're talking about hard moral questions and how to talk to children about them. Let's go to Alan in Pensacola, Florida, listening on Sirius XM. Alan, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello.
Hey, Alan, there you are.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, well, how are you? House damage? You're okay?
No. Luckily, we're in Pensacola, which is about 2.5 hours west of Panama City and
okay.
Mexico Beach. So,
All right.
Thankfully, we didn't get any of our damage. But
prayers for your fellow Panhandle Floridians. What's your question, Alan?
Absolutely. So, you know, we're going through this whole process with my oldest daughter. My oldest daughter goes to a private liberal arts school. And over the past year or so, we've had to deal with all these questions where she has friends that are, you know, saying that they are lesbians. And she has one friend now who is, you know, claiming to be a transgender or transmitting into a male. And so it's been a real topic of conversation in our house on how do we gently do this, you know, sort of makes things a little bit complicates things because my daughter she's very high functioning, but she is on the autism spectrum. So some of the normal thought processes that go into play with all this just aren't there. So it sometimes concepts are not quite as clear. So, you know, we're dealing with all this is just as you guys speak, and it's a one step at a time type of a process, it seems to be.
What advice can we give Alan?
I would start off that if your daughter is actually on the autism spectrum, that could help on some of these issues, because some people who are on the autism spectrum tend to have better analytic abilities and logic abilities. You find that a lot of people who are on the autism spectrum do well in areas like computer programming, for example, that they're not as easily – like one of the things that people with autism struggle with others is reading emotions from other people, whereas they're very good at following instructions, understanding the logical framework of something. So when it comes to an issue like transgender, you can actually have a good explanation with her just taking a very kind of simple, straightforward, logical approach with different analogies. You might say, well, okay, so your friend who is a girl says she's a boy. Does saying she's a boy make her a boy, though? How does that work? You could use examples like, well, if I say that I'm 4 feet tall, does that make me 4 feet tall? You know, if I say that I'm a member of a particular race, for example, that doesn't make me a member of it. So I think what can be helpful here is finding these comparisons and show that if just saying you're something doesn't make you something with all these other examples, how could it be different with being a boy or girl or a man or a woman? That's one thing I might throw out there.
Layla?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you've got the advantage here because unlike the previous caller where she was talking to someone who actually was the one transitioning, what you're doing is forming your own child. And so you can be instead of having to be so sensitive about what wound the person that's transitioning might have or how to talk to that person, you can just simply build the case, like Trent said. I mean, you start with creation, you know, or we start with the idea that even chromosomally or even genetically, we know from DNA what we are. I mean, that's science. That's hard science. And that gender, this idea of gender, really, aside from the anomalies that we've always known about, like intersex or different congenital issues, gender really isn't found anywhere outside of the imagination. So, you know, you can talk to your daughter that way about these things so that she can see the world clearly or she can have a clear view of the landscape out there. And then she can apply it then to the world around her rather than, you know, it would be a little more difficult if it were your own daughter going through that because then you have other considerations.
Is it worth talking about, Layla, in this case and others? Because I know you and your husband have had to make these decisions about schooling,
mm-hmm.
about what schooling environment will I have for my
right.
child that it sounds like, you know, Alan has his daughter in an environment, and Alan, we're not going to second guess your schooling choices. We just want to throw out something to think about. That sometimes, and this maybe has been the case in your own life, you have to change that schooling environment because it can have such a molding effect on your child.
Right. And this is where, you know, it gets tricky to even talk about in public because, of course, it makes you look like a hater or, you know, a bigot. But we as Catholics are charged, every parent is charged with the formation and the protection of their young child. So especially for the children in their latency period, those years of innocence. And we did have to make a change in our schooling when there was, you know, a homosexual couple in the kindergarten class raising girls, two little girls. And when I started to get questions from my son about, oh, you know, mom, girls can marry girls. And I thought, okay, this is kindergarten. You know, we're charged with protection and keeping that innocence. So we quietly made the switch. We had to make the switch, which we didn't do any fanfare. We didn't, you know, make anyone feel bad. We just decided back to some really solid Catholic schools. So, yeah.
Alan, thanks very much for your call. And I know that Layla and Trent's book is going to be a great help to you. I want to underscore what the two of you said about education. I had a conversation several months ago with a fellow here, a well-meaning gentleman who is sending his children to a very Tony school on the coast here in San Diego, and he objects to it. It is not just politically but morally left-wing, I guess we could say. He doesn't agree with it. And when I asked him, I said, well, you know, why are you paying all this money? He says, well, they're getting a very good education. and I'm thinking, well, your point, Layla, exactly. Yes, it is learning sums and Latin paradigms, though I don't even know if they're doing that. But it's formation. It's the formation of the child. Mm-hmm. And they're spending, in many cases, more waking hours with those people – who have the same kind of mindset as the people writing that textbook encouraging people to sext.
Right. Yeah, I would fundamentally disagree with the idea you should send your child to a school where their moral formation will suffer, but their academic formation will somehow increase. Because honestly, if you get later in life, it's far easier to reverse damaged academic formation than it is damaged moral formation. If you have damaged academic formation, you just need a tutor. If you have damaged moral formation, you need the Holy Spirit working overdrive. I'd rather deal with the former.
Amen, amen. Let's go to Joe in Lubbock, Texas, home of the greatest rock and roll musician in rock and roll history. Joe, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Buddy Holly, that's right.
Yes, you got it on the first guess. No, it's not Mac Davis. You're right. It's Buddy Holly. Joe, what's your question?
I'm a university student, and I guess dealing with more of these moral questions with people that are more so my peers, you know, people that aren't necessarily under their direct influence or not as influenced by their parents anymore. How do you approach and talk to and even teach with people that might be a little bit more hard set in their ways?
Okay, so this is an interesting approach that I use, and actually I've found that this works with secular people, is to kind of just question them maybe as to, you know, look around. Look around at the peers. Are people generally happy? Are they generally, you know, well-adjusted and doing just great? A lot of times you'll see that people's lives are a mess. Sexually especially, their lives might be a mess. I remember sitting with a friend of mine who was a non-Christian. And this was before, again, before I knew the term natural law. But I sat with her in my living room one day, and she was just kind of asking a question about Catholics and why we don't use contraception and things like that. And I just said to her, you know, think about it. You know, every woman, usually the deepest wounds that women have experienced in their lives have something to do with the misuse of human sexuality. Whether it's an abortion in their past or being used and abused, you know, having their hearts broken, getting some kind of disease, a divorce, a rape, I mean, something like that. It's usually because of a misuse of how we use sexuality. And she looked at me and she said, "You're right." And so there was this dawning of understanding that, okay, maybe we can kind of trace back some of these messes that we see all around us or our deepest wounds back to something very basic, which is a misuse of how we were made to be, how we ought to be as humans. And so maybe that could be like a kind of a fun, you know, college students love to talk philosophy, right? So you just kind of bring up these philosophical questions and maybe do it Socratically and maybe identify if they can find that out for themselves that, yeah, it looks like that's where a lot of the mess is coming from. And then you could take it from there.
Trent, that Socratic style is your field. It's your expertise.
Amen to that. So I would, to tag on to that, Joe, along with asking questions about whether people are satisfied with the results of their ethical decisions, like, you know, is it okay? Are you comfortable with your sexual ethic leading to situations where you're terrified of these sexual encounters, that they're not consensual or they are? We don't know the lines. Even if we think we're being consensual, people still feel awful later. Is this something we're happy with? So one, the Socratic method on whether you're okay with the results. And I would focus the Socratic method also on the foundation of what they believe and put the burden of proof on them. Like if someone says, well, I disagree with you as a Catholic, I think two people should be allowed to get married. And if they're two men, whatever, say, well, okay, well, what do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean by marriage? What is marriage? Is marriage only two people? Well, why is it only two people? Get them to defend what they believe to show that it's incoherent. Or if they say, well, I don't think transgender is a big deal, or it's hateful for you to say that that man is not really a man, you can say, well, help me understand transgender. I don't get it. Is there a difference between men and women? Like if I call that person that I believe is a woman a man, you know, there's a difference, right? Yeah, there's a difference between men and women. Okay, what's the difference between men and women? And you just ask that. Now, if you believe in transgender identity, you can't point to anything objective that is the difference between men and women, even though people on that side will say, oh, yeah, if he says he's a man, he's not a woman. Well, then that means there must be a difference between those two terms. And if the difference is only, well, men are people who say they're men, women are people who say they're women, that's an invalid circular definition. So I think in the book, Joe, you might actually benefit from the sections on what the church teaches on these moral issues and then how to talk to big kids, because you probably have this experience with college students. Most of them are still really big kids anyways. Is that helpful?
It is very helpful.
Good. Joe, if I could recommend also to you, Trent has a DVD or a CD called Three Secrets to Sharing the Faith or something along those lines. And it's a more expansive treatment of this point that Trent makes over and over. Almost every time I hear him speak, he says, you don't have to have all the right answers. You just have to know how to ask the right questions.
That's right.
So I would recommend that DVD,
Three Secrets to Defending the Faith.
And you can get that at shop.catholic.com. Also available at shop.catholic.com, this book that we're talking about today, Made This Way. This is a perfect book for a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a priest. And you know what I was thinking? Now confirmation classes are starting up, gearing up. So if you're sponsoring someone for confirmation, and they probably haven't particularly well catechized, then if you're a sponsor, this is an excellent book that will help you talk to that soul that you're going to be sponsoring. You can buy it individually. You can buy 5 copies or more, and they cost $10. But the real deal, buy a case of 20, and they are $5 each. Available at shop.catholic.com.
Listeners to Catholic Radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic Radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic Radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Truth. I think we have a couple of lines open. Folks, if you don't get on in the first hour, the great news is that Layla and Trent are going to be here in the studio in the second hour. So call with your hard questions. Everyone who gets on the show today gets a free copy of Trent and Layla's new book, Made This Way. I'm Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett, who will be back in this chair tomorrow. Let's go to Jose in South Bend, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Jose, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello. Hi. My question is, and I guess you guys kind of touched some points already. I'm a deacon in the diocese where I live.
God bless you.
And thank you. Thank God. The thing is, especially people that being clergy, I guess, like a lot of people don't feel like this. Automatically, they're kind of like turned off towards the church. To ask somebody like that, you know, and sometimes, you know, I've been like so tempted to, you know, to approach some people that are having these issues, but it seems like they're feel less inclined to talk to me or to talk to a priest or somebody like that sometimes, you know, because they automatically think then, you know, the church doesn't approve this, so they just won't, you know, try to, you know, talk, I guess, to somebody like that. So I guess I don't know if there's any suggestions or resources, I guess, how to deal with things like that. And maybe to even help people to want to share, to want to talk, you know, because I think that's the main thing. Because, I mean, like things like what you were saying, you know, to reaffirm, I think a thing that happens with people in dealing with these issues is just, in a way, they don't feel that, I guess, the love of God, and or they have lost the fact that they're sons and daughters of God, and you know, but it's just hard to. How can you tell them when they're not really looking for that? They're just trying to want to be reaffirmed on the way they're feeling, and that's it. They don't want anything else.
So how does Jose start a conversation here, Trent?
Sure. I think the important thing is what St. Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, I've become all things to all men so I can win some for Christ. And what we see there is Paul is talking about the important principle of meeting people where they are at. And that can start very simply, that if somebody doesn't want to talk about religion, you can't really probably talk about religion with them. First, you have to build rapport with them over any kind of common ground you can find, whether it's, you know, sports, politics, kids, your families, your neighborhood, building that kind of common ground first on these interests. And this happens to me all the time. I'll travel for work and people ask me what I do and I talk about the church and they get a little uncomfortable. So I try to find something, you know, and I have a wide, you know, I think you said earlier, it's a little geeky in some ways, that I have a wide array of knowledge to try to connect with people. We form that kind of connection, so we build that bond, and then we can bring up these other issues after we've made that bond with someone over something less controversial. And then asking them, and remember, when we talk about these issues, like if you're a deacon, it's hard when they're talking to you. These people might feel like you're standing toe-to-toe with them. You're the church, they're the people, and it's like a fight, and you don't want it to be that way. So you want to make your questions like, what do you think about this stuff? Or what do you think about this issue? So that you're almost standing kind of shoulder to shoulder and you're just looking at it and you just want to see what they think about it. And I think that's a kind of attitude that can be helpful to have these good conversations.
Layla?
Well, and I want to say, Jose, don't sell yourself short. I mean, just from this very short time of hearing you, you sound like a very friendly and very caring
Amen.
Person.
Oh, yeah. He's clearly giving the love of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. So yeah. My thought is you need to realize you're probably coming off as a very a nice and loving person who could have these friendships or could approach people and not be immediately dismissed by them as someone terrible or awful. So I have a feeling that you do give off a really inclusive and nice vibe to everyone. And I will tell you that I've spent many years debating really hardcore secular people who do not like the Catholic Church and her teachings. But what I have found is that, you know, we could be debating something really difficult, but privately I'll talk to some of them or I'll get them an email. And especially college students are in really smart, wonderful people. But I've been surprised when I've asked them, hey, you know what, you're about my daughter's age. Do you mind if I treat you almost a little maternally? And every time I've asked that question, it absolutely shocks me that they always say, yes, I would like that. And it's almost like we underestimate ourselves or the human connection that we can make with people. Right. When people really do want to make those connections, and you might have a different perspective than they do, and maybe part of them subconsciously kind of wants to hear what a deacon has to say, mm-hmm. but needs to know that you're not pouncing on them to, you know, right off the bat or ever. And it used to seem like a really friendly guy that would not be an issue. So be really confident in how you are, because I see you're a great guy.
Jose, God bless you for your ministry and keep Catholic Answers in your prayers, please. Let's go to Kathy in Lake Charles, Louisiana, listening on EWTN Radio Sirius XM. By the way, another great bishop there in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Kathy, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi. My question is dealing with my grandson. He's only 5 years old, okay? But he goes to a very small public school. And when I say small, there's like 15 kids through a grade. Well, and it's a very good school. Not a Catholic school, but Catholic school is kind of out of the picture for financial reasons. But he has, I'm just going to use some fake names here, okay? So he has a little boy in his class, let's call him John, and there's the lunch lady, let's call her Miss Sue, okay? We're just sitting around the table the other day, and my grandson just said, "You want to know something weird?" He said, "John, Miss Sue is really John's dad. Isn't that weird? I'm so confused."
The answer is yes,
and
it is weird.
I just didn't even know what to say.
Yeah. How do we help here? Five-year-old.
So, yeah, that's like when I had my five-year-old ask me a question about, you know, girls marrying girls. And so my response, first of all, would be always to not freak out. That's always my first, you know, rule. Don't freak out.
Say it,
you know,
multiple times in the book. Don't freak out.
Don't freak out. You know, in your child or your grandchild needs to know that you are in control and you're the adult here and you have an answer or, you know, you're willing to have a talk about this and you're willing to give them guidance on this. I generally would lead with, "Oh, honey, you know, that's so sad that there's a confusion there, because clearly a woman cannot be someone's father." And you would, you know, instantly clear that up. And then because the child may have heard and this other child may think that that's the dad of a group of lesbians is, I guess, what we're talking about here. That's more the masculine parent. You would reaffirm that no, that Miss Sue is a woman, and that isn't it sad? And again, this is what I did with my child. You know, isn't it sad when a child doesn't have a mother and a father like God intended? So it's very, very sad what has happened here. But you know, we love your friend and we love his parents, but they're very confused. They're very confused, and we need to pray for them because God wanted every child to have a mother and a father. In fact, that's the child's right, is to have their own mother and their father. So let's pray for them. Again, it's going to be tricky because it's a small school and there's only 15 kids and you don't have an option. So you'll have to keep kind of maybe reiterating this to him and giving him a foundation that's not normal and that's not how God intended it, but in the most loving way that you can.
Mm-hmm. Trent?
No, I would agree. And this is close to myself. I mean, my oldest son is going to be 4 here pretty soon. And we were actually walking through the park the other day, and there were, you know, 2 men passionately embracing one another. So these issues, the reason we wrote Made This Way is because these issues approach even our youngest children, who we'd love to have for them to have more of a sense of innocence. And you should do your best to protect your child's innocence. But we have to admit, in this day and age, it's very hard to come by. So I think the first rule is, when these questions come up, is to not freak out, like Layla said, to ask questions of your own in return, to say, well, who said that Johnny's, the lunch lady is Johnny's daddy? Who said that? What do you think? Who can be a daddy? Could mommy be your daddy? If you had 2 daddies, where would the baby come from? Mm-hmm. And just asking questions like that, which is probably how I'd approach it with my own 4-year-old, that they start to think things through. They're, you know, kids at age 4 or 5, they're very logical, cause and effect. Even if they might make some, you know, incorrect conclusions or assessment, they're still very on track to not be swayed by emotions, but just they reason from cause and effect and from authority. So at that age, and I think, Layla, you have a lot more experience with this than I do, they come to believe things are true because people they trust tell them that it's
true. Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing. Children at that age believe something because someone they trust tells them that. And then 2, they can back that up by, you know, I listen to my own children, you know, to my oldest son. He'll give these particular reasons. He at this age, even, he gives reasons about why things are the way they are. So they can tap into that. So I think what you'd have to go into is to, 1, be that authority. Say, no, they're confused. This is who mommies are. This is who daddies are. Everyone has a mommy and a daddy, and that they're a boy and a girl. And it's sad if people don't have their real mommy and daddy, the mommy and daddy they came from. And then help them see how logical that is. And they're ready at that age to hear that.
You know, Layla, Trent, we're coming up here on the end of the hour. Of course, you'll be with us for the second hour, so everybody in the queue will get a chance to ask a question. But it occurs to me, every question that we got in the first hour pertained in some way to a misunderstanding or a misuse of God's gift of sexuality. You know, you got a minute left. What in the world? What unpack that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other tough moral questions, but so many of these are... This is something the devil has been masterful.
Well, I've said that it goes back to the garden. You know, the things of human creation were life and, you know, marriage and male and female. So if he can attack those 3 things, we've got it with abortion, we've got it with, you know, gay marriage, and we've got it now with transgender. I mean, the devil has covered the gamut.
The devil wants to attack us because the most amazing thing we can do as human beings, we can do something angels cannot do, and that is partner with God to bring a person with an immortal soul into existence. Not even the angels with their amazing intellects could bring another person with an immortal soul in existence into being. But we can't. We've been, and so the devil hates that we have been given this awesome responsibility and has sought every single way to corrupt it as possible so that we can be miserable and not carry out the command of Genesis to be fruitful and multiply and raise children in a godly way.
We have that beautiful image from our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, that it was a tradition among some of the church fathers that the human population is replacing in the heavenly kingdom the 3rd of the angels who fell, right?
Oh,
yeah, it's a beautiful image. Yeah, this is quite a mess. Okay, my friends, if you get on the show today, you get a copy of Made This Way. And if you go to shop.catholic.com, you can purchase an individual copy using the promo code CALIVE18 to save 20%. You can buy 5 copies or more, and your cost goes down to $10 a copy. Buy a case of 20 and they are $5 a copy. $100, you've got 20 people you know that you could share this book with, and you'll be doing a lot of good. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett. The number is 888-318-7884. David, Bill, Clarissa, Anthony. We'll get you on in the second hour. Back after the break.